Welcome to the Azure Podcast, a weekly podcast to keep you up to date on what's new on our cloud platform, Microsoft Azure. Your hosts, Cynthia Crane, Evan Basilik, Sujit DeMello, Kendall Roden, Kel Teeter, and Russell Young discuss a different service or solution on each show, with subject matter experts to explain how to get started, how different services work, and how to make decisions in tricky scenarios. You can find out more about our podcast at azpodcast.com or follow us on Twitter at Azure Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Azure Podcast. Today is Wednesday, September 22nd, and this is episode number 395, and we'll be talking about SAP on Azure with Ravi Kashyap. I'm here with my fellow co-host, Sujit, as well as obviously our special guest, Ravi. So news, looks like a pretty thin news day today. I've got, we just released I think this is actually neat because this is very modern Microsoft, very modern Azure, but Azure Backup now you can do backups, instant clones, and minimize performance impact for Oracle, which is great, right? It's that sort of cross-platform, cross-product thing. I suspect our System Center backup products on premises, did do some Oracle integration, but it's just great to see that in the cloud as well because, you see all kinds of things running in Azure these days. Sujit, anything from your side?
There were a bunch of smaller updates this week, functions, runtime updates, things like that. But yeah, I think you picked on the big one.
Okay, cool. Well, I know there is an SAP one, but what we'll do is we'll use this as a nice timing to introduce Ravi. Ravi, go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us what you do here at Microsoft.
Sure. My first name is easy to pronounce, Ravi. Last name is Kashyap. And I also like to say, if you ever had ravioli the food, you cannot mispronounce my name.
Okay. I'll like you better than I like ravioli. I'm not a big ravioli fan. So you're much better than ravioli.
As far as what I do here, my role here is SAP on Azure Architect. So I started my career with SAP Basis Technical, and then I did SAP Architect on private cloud, they call it now, and then moved to public cloud. So in my role, I help customers make sure the architecture on Azure is right, how to migrate from on-prem or other clouds to Azure. Remove any blockers or help them with the migration sequence or kind of if you think about it, bring the SAP expertise to the Azure platform.
Okay. So first and most important question, it's SAP, right? Not SAP, not... is it HANA or HANA?
Funny that you asked. If you pronounce it SAP, half the people would not talk to you.
Okay.
It happens to me with customers too. Like I was at a customer place and there was an Azure guy and he kept calling it SAP. No, stop, don't call it SAP. So not only us, customers don't like it either.
That's right. So it's a culture war. We don't want to cancel you if you use call it SAP. So
the point of being religious now, if you call it SAP, no, I'm not talking to you. You're dead to me.
Yeah. And now is it HANA or HANA then?
It's HANA. There's a full name for it, hyper something, but it's an acronym for something. So this HANA, not HANA, not the name. Yep. SAP HANA. And a lot of times I hear that you cannot call it HANA because it's deployed by SAP, created by SAP. So you have to call it SAP HANA, similar to what we call for Azure. Like you cannot call it Azure, you have to call Microsoft Azure.
Oh, yeah. Okay, cool.
Same logic. And I know this because I authored the SAP press book, SAP on Microsoft Azure, and they were very particular about it. I'm like, can I call it Azure? They're like, no, you cannot call it Azure. You have to call it Microsoft Azure. You cannot call it HANA. You have to call it SAP HANA.
That's funny. Well, that's the brand new rules.
I was going to say Microsoft Azure is better than Windows Azure.
That is true. I was just thinking about that. I remember when we did the show when we made that name change, right? And that was such a big deal at the time. So
was the name change because of Linux? Or? I do like Microsoft Azure better.
If you think about it, right? So it came out of everything back then. We had Windows on it, and that was I don't remember what year it was. I have to go back and look, but I mean, that was the point at which we really were starting to see significant adoption for non-Windows workloads, non-Windows scenarios. And we saw Linux, we were, you know, fully supportive of, you know, people running, you know, Mongo VMs in there, you know, running NetApp. I mean, just everything, right? And so it really made sense to flip that switch. And actually these days, the last I saw, we are well over 50% now is Linux workloads. And a lot of our platform services these days, PaaS services, are Linux-based. You know, App Gateway is Linux-based, Firewall is Linux-based. It's just these days, it's whatever works best for the workload. Heck, SQL Server runs on Linux these days, right? Yeah. So it's sort of whatever, we just meet you where you are.
Yeah, so another tidbit from SAP side, SAP HANA was created for Linux, and they don't intend to create for anything else. It just runs Linux.
So that runs Linux under the covers. I actually did not know that. Okay.
Yeah, exclusively. Even if you want to run application servers on Windows, you still have to run the database HANA on Linux.
Interesting. Okay. So what's the first thing somebody, I mean, like, why would somebody go to run, you know, SAP HANA in Azure? Like, what's the driver for that? I mean, SAP that's a big deal. It's a mission critical piece of software. I mean, obviously on the Microsoft side, we want to see those workloads in Azure, but what's the value proposition for customers to want to go there? Like, that's the starting point in my mind.
So from the customer side, there are a couple of triggers. One could be if you are running into a private cloud or a data center where your contract is expiring, and we see that a lot. You're running with, like, I came from private cloud world. So we had 3 years contract. When the contract expires, price usually jumps, or your SAP application is so old that you need upgrading, or hardware needs refreshing. So we call it an event. And if you have that kind of event, now you have two options. You go do the same thing all over, or you evaluate whether something can be done better or in a more agile way. And if you're talking about HANA, the database size, not the database size, the RAM size on the VMs could be big. I'm not talking about a terabyte or something. It's like, it could be 3, 6, 12, 24 terabytes. So now imagine creating a physical server or a VM with 24 terabytes. And by the way, it's just not one of those, right? Or not only one. You might have several SAP applications with that big databases.
It takes 6 months to get one of those on your dock, much less in your data center at that
point, right? Think about the timeline that it takes you, and the money that you're going to be spending. So that's cost is one factor, but I think that when we started SAP on Azure, cost used to be in a lot more conversations than it is now. These days, people talk about agility. Like, I'm working with a couple of customers who want to see how HANA works to begin with, if they are on SQL Server or Oracle or some other database. They want to see how HANA works. They want to do a proof of concept. And they don't want to spend that much money to do a proof of concept, right?
You still need the hardware even to do a proof of concept. Okay.
And that's coming from an SAP event wherein SAP has declared that after 2027, they would not support any other database. They will just support S/4HANA, which runs on HANA, of course. So SAP is going from database agnostic to supporting only SAP databases or SAP HANA database. They would not support anything else. So that's a big change for everybody. And if you're an Oracle shop running Oracle for 20 years and you want to new to HANA, do you want to do some testing or see how HANA works out? You don't want to spend hundreds of thousands and bring the hardware to your on-premise or wherever. So that's a good use case. You just provision it on Azure, and you're done with it. Performance, a lot of time performance testing or something. Also, when you're trying to migrate, so if you're on Oracle, you have to migrate to upgrade to a newer version. Let's say you're on ECC, SAP ECC Enterprise Core Components. So newer version is S/4HANA. If you're trying to migrate from ECC to HANA, and you've got to test it somewhere. So that gives you a good platform, or a cloud, public clouds give you a good platform to just test things. And if once you see how good that is, you got to move there.
Yes. Yeah, so Ravi, I was wondering, like, in a typical scenario like this, where a customer does want to try it out, let's say, but they are using SAP internally already, what's the work effort or the timeline to A, get this provisioned in Azure, B, copy everything over, you know, so that it looks like what they have on internally?
So do you mean the time for the proof of concept or time for the whole system migration?
Let's say a whole system migration so that they can start, you know, kicking the tires a little bit and making sure everything works like it works on-prem.
So a typical SAP project can range anywhere between 6 to 12 months. I've seen a 24 months too, depending on how many landscapes you have. So if you are an SAP shop, more likely you don't have one application. Like we at Microsoft use SAP internally, and you just don't use one application. It never happens. You have maybe 6, 7, 8, 10 applications that are crucial to your business. And you are trying to move all of them at the same time versus you can group some of those. And also SAP is a landscape-based system. So there's a development system, test system, production system, sandbox system, parallel systems. So, you know, having 500 to 1,000 VMs in SAP space is not uncommon.
Like, this is that's 500 or 1,000 big VMs too, right, at that
point. HANA ones of 6, 12 terabyte ones, but bigger as in regular than, bigger than the regular VMs.
Yeah, these are like E-series things typically.
So typically we start with moving the sandbox. That could take a couple of months depending on your network infrastructure, how soon you could get the express route. And then from there, the progress kind of hastens. So sandbox could take 2 months if figuring out everything else. Once you know what it looks like, what are the learnings, it could move from there. So in my experience, project can last anywhere between 4 months to 12 months. And provisioning the box also, if you are talking about HANA virtual machine, it's really easy. You just go and provision. But if you try to get a physical machine, so beyond 12 terabyte, there's no virtual machine yet. I've run into some customers that their database size is 24, 30 terabytes. In that case, you have to use the bare metal, which is S series, and the lead time for that is in weeks. So you got to, there's a lot of planning involved than in execution. I say 60% planning, 40% execution.
And what about the actual data migration?
That's what I was going to ask about. Like at some point, you have to flip the switch. And that's not small data either. Like just copying it takes time. Is this an online thing, an offline thing?
A little bit of both. So most of the databases support some kind of replication technology. So similar to, let's say, if you are SQL Server always on is the replication technology. If you are on Oracle, Oracle Data Guard. If you are on HANA, or if you're an SAP HANA system replication, or HSR, they call it, that's the replication technology. So in the downtime window, if you're trying to move the systems, cut over on a weekend, you would have set up the replication weeks ahead of time. So if there's a 10 terabyte HANA database, you would set up replication, it keeps replicating for a couple of weeks. On the cutover day, you just flip the switch. So your technical downtime is a lot lower, similar to ASR. For application server, do Azure system.
Azure Site Recovery.
Azure Site Recovery, there you go.
Yeah. Acronym suit,
Similar to ASR, what you do for application. So typical migration part could be ASR for application servers, HSR or any other database technology for database. And on the day of the cutover, you flip the switch. So the technical downtime could be an hour, 2 hours. But there's a business downtime too, because you have to stop all the business processes on-prem and then when the system comes up, you do a lot of testing to make sure everything is looking good and roll out to the business gradually.
That's like the migration you're talking about there with the sort of online replication, SQL to SQL or, HANA to HANA. What's it look like? Like you said earlier, I think in 2027, you have to be on HANA-based system. What's that migration look like? Can I, as part of moving to the cloud, it seems like that would be a good time to do that jump. But now you can't do that online replication, or can you?
No, so yes and no. Again, SAP released a tool called DMO, Database Migration Option, Data Migration Option, they call it. So now you have an option to either come to Azure and then do the conversion to HANA, or you can do it in single step, like you are saying, from Oracle, you're moving somewhere else with system move, you're moving somewhere else. And by the way, while you're doing that, just convert my database to HANA.
Gotcha. Okay. So you can sort of do it in a relatively seamless way. There's still going to be some downtime, but okay.
Things to take care of those would be like, there would be higher downtime than if you were to do a replication, because you're doing a data conversion now. You're not just doing a flipping a switch and replication. You're doing the data conversion. So a little bit higher downtime, a lot more planning involved, because you have to test all the business processes. With HANA, there are a lot of business process change. Like they call it simplification. There's finance simplification or the way reports work. So during the testing cycles, you may have fixed a lot of reports, you may have done a lot of testing, but of course on the final day too, you have to do a lot of testing. So overall, possibility-wise, yes, a little bit higher downtime, a little bit more planning than if you were to just do like-to-like lift and shift.
Gotcha, okay.
And Ravi, once you do the migration and the cutover date, what are some of the tools or techniques that are available to you in Azure to be able to monitor this, all these, you know, hundreds of servers and the SAP HANA server? Or, you know, are there something special that Azure provides you for SAP? Or is it just the usual, you know, metrics and things like that that we have for VMs today?
Yeah, so it depends on which layer we are talking about. At the virtual machine layer, Azure Monitor is the way to go. If you move up a little bit at SAP layer, we just released something called Azure Monitor for SAP. I think it's in public preview. So it takes care of the application layer also. So it has SAP NetWeaver or database, even HANA. So it has a couple of modules. One is for application, one is for HANA database. It also has a module for OS. But since Azure Monitor works very well for VM, I think their use case for OS is the physical boxes. If you were to do a S-series box, you could use Azure Monitor for SAP. It's in initial stages. So far, I like what I see, and I'm looking forward to how it grows. You know, anything that Azure launches, initially, it kind of there's a development cycle, I like to call it. Initially, you got to test it to see whether it works. We get the customer feedback and improve on it. So what I see right now, it looks good, and I'm looking forward to see how it evolves and how that.
I'm just, I was also curious about the SAP HANA database itself, right? That must be very I/O intensive, I imagine, or I guess memory intensive, maybe because it uses up a lot of memory. You know, are there any hooks or tools that are provided to get details about that? You know, because obviously it's not running. I mean, if you're not using the physical option, if you're using the up to 12 terabytes option available to you for pay as you go, then, you know, you can't really get access. I mean, what kind of access do you have into the VM? Do you really have to jump into the VM to take a look at some of the way that the box is performing, especially on the high in performance HANA servers?
So one thing that I didn't touch on was the certification requirement. So yes, HANA has high memory usage and high throughput usage. So having said that, if you're trying to run production, it has to be certified by SAP. So any HANA box has a minimum certification requirement. What I mean by that is if you're trying to use M-series box and you try to use HANA log, it has to have right accelerator on. If you run it without right accelerator, you're running an uncertified version. And if you create a ticket with SAP, they would not help you. So that's the big thing with certification.
They will. They'll say, turn it on. Done. Call it back. Yeah.
So same goes for Azure. If you run an uncertified configuration and come back to Azure, I'm like, oh, get to the certified level first, then we'll talk. So having said that, as far as monitoring goes, Azure Monitor collects all the metrics. And Azure Monitor for SAP logs into the HANA database, reads all the metadata tables. So SAP has its own tools like SAP HANA Studio or HANA Cockpit, which can gather a lot of data. And it uses, basically, it just logs into the database, uses the metadata tables, and does a read on it. Our engineering team is doing exactly the same thing. They log into the database, use the metadata table, and just push it out to Azure. So it shows a nice Azure dashboard with a lot of metrics at the database level. If you're running a HANA system replication, it shows the replication thing. If your availability is, of course, basic, and then the performance.
So it's great to see that integration, you know, with Azure Monitor, because it is, in a lot of ways, it's sort of the place everything gets logged to, right? And you have this universal view. Does SAP in general, and I guess this may or may not apply to SAP on HANA as well, but can I use all my typical Azure capabilities with it, private link and VNets, and I mean, you mentioned ExpressRoute earlier, so that implies sort of a VNet. But can I, you know, use things like my, you know, NSGs, all that? Like, I assume all that stuff is totally works in an SAP on HANA
scenario. Yeah, so I would
say
not all, but most of it, like virtual network subnet, NSGs, ASGs, Key Vault backups. There's a backup for Azure backup for HANA also. The only catch or caveat with that is even when you get into SAP space, you just have to do more testing and then again the certification. So like there's an Azure backup, but there's a separate one called Azure backup for HANA, and that uses SAP's executable. So it has, again, get into the certification requirement. So when you use Azure backup for HANA, it gets a little bit more complex.
Go ahead. Finish your thought.
Most of the other tools, as far as, you know, monitoring or security or networking goes, yes, it's applicable.
It almost sounds like, you know, when I hear you talking about the certification, In some ways, that has got to be almost easier in Azure because, you know, in the on-premises world, if you find that, you know, a disk subsystem, you know, the big disk subsystem arrays, what's it called?
RAID?
Yeah, no, the remote storage arrays, the SANs. Sorry, so long since I don't think about those anymore. You know, if your SAN didn't meet the criteria, right, that's a huge deal, right? You might have to get a different SAN. You may have to upgrade it. All that in Azure, it seems to me that, like, you could just go run the check-ins. Oh, you're missing, you know, you've got it configured for Azure Backup instead of Azure Backup for HANA. That's just like a little checkbox and a change. There's no, you know, you're not replacing hardware. You're not, hey, you need a different, you know, your storage is not fast enough. Turn on the right accelerator. Like, it seems like it would be a lot simpler to achieve that certified configuration than sometimes it would be on-prem.
Yeah, that's right. I totally agree with that. But the bigger point would be, it's easier to change it. Like, I'm working with a customer there.
Yeah.
They were the HANA, 6 terabyte HANA machine, and they deleted a bunch of data. If you are on-prem, now you're stuck with that 6 terabyte machine for the life of the machine.
Yeah.
Versus now, you can just downsize it to 3 terabyte. So the certification achieving is a lot easier for the customer, from the customer side, that is. From Microsoft side, we got to do a lot of work with SAP to get that certified configuration. But the real value in my mind is just going up and down. And I say down because people think about going up when I say scale out or scale up, but nobody thinks about going down as often. But I've started to see a lot more customers reviewing their landscape to see whether they are using everything or not. If not, just downsize it.
Yeah, because I guess in the on-premises world, like, you couldn't do it. You were stuck with the hardware, so you might, you know, it is what it is. Yeah, okay. I hadn't thought about it. That's a nice benefit. You're right. We don't tend to.
And they're talking about terabytes of memory, right? Like the example.
There's a big cost difference between them, I'm sure. Right?
6 terabyte and 3 terabyte is like half the cost.
Yeah.
You know, I was wondering, Ravi, what are some of the considerations customers have to take regarding placement of these servers? Like, do they have to worry about placement groups being close to each other in the same data center? What about availability zones? You know, what are some of the limitations in some of those features for availability that they can use?
That's what keeps my job, right? I got to understand that in Azure and SAP's context. So this comes in more towards when you're looking at high availability configuration with availability set or availability zone. If you're looking at HA configuration, set gives you 3, 9.5, and zones give you 4, 9s. But as far as PPG goes, so SAP has a requirement that the latency between database and application server cannot be more than 0.7 milliseconds. And if you just deploy without PPG, and if it happens to go to 2 different data centers, now you're not meeting that requirement. So as Azure evolves, we have made checks. Like, PPG was a recent thing maybe 2 years ago.
Before, I mean, that was for the SAP scenario, right? I mean, that was one of the big drivers for that feature, if my memory is right.
So that's a good point. Azure makes a lot of our accommodations, our new services, just for SAP. And by the way, if it's there for SAP anyways, everybody can use it. So in that sense, a lot of features and a lot of features in the region come for SAP too. For example, 2 years ago in South Central, there were no availability zone. And there was a customer saying, I want to use South Central. Do you want to bring availability zone there or not? And if you are a big customer, of course, the Microsoft answer is yes, we'll bring it there. How soon do you want it? So as far as configuration goes, like I had mentioned earlier, with certification goes a lot of checks and balances. And in there, you got to test different configurations like availability set versus zone. You still have to make sure it works with SAP. And if it's the latency criteria is not met, then you have to invent something which happens to be PPG. And now you have to make sure everything is in the same data center. Same thing for disaster recovery. Now you're talking about two different zones. How does the DR work? ASR for application server, but what do you do for database? Same, then database replication technology. And when ANF came along, ANF has this cross-region replication, which you can use.
And that's Azure Network Files, right, in this context, right?
Yeah. No, NetApp files, not network.
Or NetApp.
ANF.
Yeah, what did I say?
Did you say NetApp or did you say NetApp?
I don't know. Yeah, Azure NetApp files is the right name, but
go ahead, Sajid. I just want to say, like, you know, other Azure services that it uses, for example, Key Vault comes to mind, right? Does SAP or SAP HANA take advantage of Key Vault for encryption or for secrets and things like that?
Yeah, in the SAP landscape, I see keywords being used quite often. You can, you know, use passwords or secrets or encryption keys for that matter too. If you're doing storage encryption and you're bringing your own key, you could use that in there. A lot of other services like app registration or SPN, service principal name. So whenever you're trying to use an external automation tool like Terraform or Ansible or Azure Arm, so most commonly used is the SPN or app registration, then you trigger everything from there. So I think, like, if I had to guess, I would say Azure makes or SAP makes use of 70 to 80% of Azure services. There are some that it cannot, like Azure Spot VMs, for example. I really like the idea of it, but no, SAP doesn't like it. Same thing for Azure VM. There's another thing with VM scale up, scale down. What's that called?
Auto scale.
Right? VM scale sets. VM.
Yeah, oh, scale sets. Yeah.
I really like the idea. SAP doesn't. And I'm hoping at some point SAP would support all of that. But, you know, concept wise, same thing for containers. SAP doesn't support containers yet. And I say yet because, you know, who knows, in future it may.
Yeah. I bet VMSS Flex, the flexible orchestration, I bet there's a future there for SAP, because in flexible orchestration, you can now treat them like pets those in a scale set model. So there's, you know, you get the different orchestration and some of the benefits. That's interesting. I hadn't thought about that. Because I guess, you know, going back to Sajid, what you were saying earlier, you know, if I'm going from, you know, 380 terabytes to 200 terabytes, if I get away with 200 terabytes at night, that's non-trivial cost, right? That, you know, so, okay. Yeah, that's cool. This was great, Robbie. So any other, you know, this is a good intro to SAP on Azure. Any other things that you want to make sure to call out for the audience?
So since SAP on Azure is a thing, because you have to take care of a lot of things, we have our own podcast called SAP.
That was the next thing I was going to ask you about, is make sure you mention, you know, you guys talk about this stuff all the time.
Yeah, exactly. So we talk about how Azure or how SAP works with Azure features, what to take care of or what to be aware of. And recently we have brought in a lot of partners too. So when you talk about migration earlier, Sajid, but you could use a third party tools to make sure you're migrating or using the best tools, or if you have to migrate only a part of the data, what do you do then? So there are several different scenarios, and we talk about those kind of things on our podcast. It's called SAP on Azure Talk.
Okay, yeah, and we'll make sure to put a link in the show notes for everybody as well.
It's available on all the podcasting platforms.
Great. Yeah, no, that's how you and I ran into each other originally. I can't remember how I ran across it, but I ran across the podcast, saw you, you know, and invited you on the show. So yeah, definitely appreciate you coming in to talk about it. Sajid, any last questions for Robbie?
No, thank you. This has been a good introduction, as I said. I don't think we talk about SAP as often as we should on the show. So it's glad to hear it. And of course, if our users want to get more details, they can go in and listen to your podcasts.
Yeah, and
also your book. I believe did I hear you say you wrote a book?
Yeah, if you don't mind the sales promotion.
Sure, go ahead.
The SAP Press book is called SAP on Microsoft Azure.
That's cool. That's not a trivial task. I know, writing a book.
Yeah, we should put a link in the show notes to that as well.
Yeah, there's an SAP Press link to it. But if you want to keep it simple, I have the domain name called saponmicrosoftazure.com.
Perfect.
Ooh, and same thing for the podcast. The domain name is saponazuretalk.com. Like to keep it simple.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Yeah. No, we'll definitely put that in the show notes. And thanks again for coming on, Robbie.
Thanks a lot for having me. Great to be here.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you have any thoughts, questions, or just want to connect, find us on Twitter at Azure Podcast. Background music has been taken from ccmixer.org under the Creative Commons license. We hope you'll tune in again soon to keep learning with us.